confident word. That's a, well, you know, it might happen, mightn't happen, you know, I can only. That's not what hope originally means. Hope is the foundation of faith. Hope is a word you can hang your hat on. Hope is a word you can declare. I hope so means I confidently believe this will happen. And when we talk about the power of hope in the life of a Christian, it is a very, very powerful force. And we need to let that hope arise in us to stir something in our hearts so that we can live according to the ways of God. So bringing hope where hope is needed. The word hope is powerful. They say that you can live without food for, I don't know, 50, 70, 80 days. You can live without water perhaps for 3 or 4 days. But you can't live without hope for 1 second. Because without hope, something dies inside. Something's destroyed. Sadly, some people without hope have taken their own lives, and that is a very, very sad thing. And it's just horrible. And we don't need to talk about that any further. But let's turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 1 this morning. Should be on the screen for you. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That would have been at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, notice this, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. Now that's literally asking for money. It's charity. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Remember, a few minutes ago, he couldn't stand. He spent his life sitting. That's all he could do. But now he can run, he can jump. And all, not some, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. For the man, this is in Acts chapter 4, 22, the next chapter, for the man was over 40 years old in whom this miracle of healing happened. What a powerful thing. Peter and John come along and they say, we don't have silver or gold, but what we've got, we're going to give you. Do you think the man would have taken a big bag of gold in place of his healing? Do you think he would have taken a fistful of diamonds? Would he think he would have taken all the promises of we will take care of you and you will live in a palace with servants in place of his healing? I don't think so. Because now this man, think of it, 40 years old, no dreams, no ambitions, couldn't get married, couldn't have a family, had to be carried. How humiliating for a man to have to be carried and put down in front where everybody knows him, everybody can see him. Put down in front of the temple to beg, please, can you help me? You can see I'm crippled. I've been like this since birth. Can you help me? Please, do you have something to put in my bowl so I can just live? And now he's healed. Do you think this man gained some hope? Do you think something stirred in his heart? How do you think he felt? I believe that the reason he's jumping and leaping and praising God, because one, he can now go into the temple and worship God. And two, dreams came alive. Before, no possibility of marriage because he couldn't support a wife. He had to beg to support himself. The kindness of people who carried him there day by day to beg. Now he has a dream. I can get a job. I can get married. I can have children. Life suddenly expanded tremendously for this man. His hope had risen where before he had no hope, simply surviving day by day. Now he could have a vision for life. That's what hope brings into people's heart. Simply because Peter and John came and said, I don't have silver and gold, but I give you what I do have. And I'm bringing this to you today because you have hope. And if you don't have hope, you need to stir something in your heart. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, stir it up in you. So where does hope come from? Well, let's look at 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Listen, we have a living hope. My hope isn't based in maybe somebody leaving me money in their will so I can have a comfortable lifestyle. My hope isn't based in my skill as a speaker to earn money or as a boss to employ people who will help the business get along so I can be successful. My hope isn't based in my wife, whom I love and appreciate, but it's not based in that she'll make me a good man. I have a living hope in Jesus Christ. And in that, I have the confidence that I'm being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So I'm saying to you this morning, we can have hope, and we got to stir hope up in our hearts. Sometimes we look around, gosh, I mean, I read the paper most days and I read it through and I'm thinking, well, that didn't do me much good. The best part in the paper is the comics. At least you can have a laugh. The rest is all bad news. It's about somebody who got murdered and somebody who got run over by a car and these people got COVID and now this is New Year's about COVID and it goes on and on and on and it's all bad news. But Jesus is good news and we have to get our vision on him. In Hebrews 10 verse 23, it says, and this is what Claire brought us this morning. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Hold fast the confession of our hope. When did you last tell God in prayer, "I thank you that you've given me a heavenly promise. I thank you that you fill my heart with love. I thank you that you care for me. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy that's brought me out of darkness into light." When did you last bring that to God? That's the thing that stirs up the hope. Don't let hope be a wishy-washy word. "Well, I hope I'll get to heaven." No, it's a confident word. If I say my hope is heaven, it means I'm absolutely expecting that heaven is my destination. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So the first thing is you have a confession of hope. That stirs hope in your heart. The second thing is that God fills us with joy and peace in believing. I'm not going to ask you to show me your hands, but how many of you read the Bible every day? Don't show me your hands. I might be terribly embarrassed. Or you might be embarrassed. You need the Word of God. It's where the promises of God are. It's where your future is talked about. It's where your hope arises. If you don't read the Bible, you're not filling your heart with hope. As I mentioned, reading the newspaper, I make sure I read the Bible every day. It's just part of my life. But when I read the newspaper, it takes my hope away. When I read the Bible, it puts the hope in my heart, stirs the hope in my heart. Got me? So we've got the promises of God that bring hope, and it says, "Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Speaking in tongues, in Jude verse 22, it says, "We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, speaking in the Holy Ghost." What it means by that is, as you speak in tongues, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being what we call baptized in the Holy Spirit, that builds you up on the inner side. That stirs your heart. That brings hope alive in you. And if you haven't been filled in the Holy Ghost, we're here to help. We believe it's an important part of a Christian life. If you're not, we don't think any less of you. We don't think you're any less Christian. But if you are not, let us help you. Come into the baptism of the Holy Ghost so you can speak in tongues and you can do what the Bible says, build yourself up on your most holy faith. So what creates hope? Ephesians 1 verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." In other words, that revelation comes to you, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." We have a glorious inheritance. And we should think about it from time to time and realize that God has something so special for you. tailor-made for you. It's a great gift of God to you. But when our eyes are open, when the revelation of God comes to us, we have an understanding and hope arises in our heart. Listen, I'm going to talk about faith in a minute, but you have to have something to believe in, because false hope engenders false religions and false promises. You would have heard how in the Islam faith, and it's the jihadists who say this, that if you die as a martyr, that you go and have, you know, so many virgins in heaven and it's all glorious, you die a glorious death. Well, sadly, 2 seconds after they explode that bomb, they realise they've been conned, because they find themselves in hell, in a place of great suffering. So false religion, false hope. What destroys hope? Broken promises. But God's promises are absolute. Remember, we read there that Hebrews 10:23, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The Bible says all the promises of God are yea and amen. They're true. God stands by his word. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Some years ago, a friend of mine named Peter Patterson, who's a pastor and who's preached in this church, Ben Patterson's dad, had a motorbike accident. And of course, I gave him a hard time, because I think motorbikes are for temporary Australians or organ donors. But apart from that, he was out riding in the bush and he hit a pothole which was obscured. I think it had dirt or dust in or something. He went in and his bike flipped and he was injured, quite badly injured, and spent time in hospital. But he said to me, he was just telling me about the insurance company he's with. He said, you know, they even paid for the helmet, which was like hundreds of dollars. And he said, that saved my life. Having that helmet on, if I hadn't had that, I'd have been dead man. And we hear about that. People, that's why they say bike helmets, whether it's push bikes or motorbikes, people need helmets to keep them alive. And so when we put on the helmet of salvation, something happens. We protect our minds. We protect, the Bible says that the enemy is throwing fiery darts at us. And he wants to get into our minds and he wants to inject thoughts in there. And when you've got the helmet of salvation on, salvation is an embracive word, meaning all that God has provided for us. But you need to remind yourself of that. I put on the helmet of salvation. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you, you delivered me from darkness, from death and depression and all those things there. That protects me from the fiery darts of the enemy who's trying to get into my mind and, of course, into your mind. And what we can talk about other hope destroyers. I've mentioned media, social media. If you want your life to lose hope, spend a lot of time on social media. Just read that stuff. Do you notice people on Facebook always talk about, well, here I am, I'm visiting here, I'm having a great holiday there, and here's my wonderful kids. And, you know, it's just like they live a charmed life, nothing ever goes wrong. Well, I don't knock them for putting that on Facebook, but what it does to other people is, oh, my life's a bit tough. I can't go away like that, or my kids aren't as glamorous as that or as good as that. Don't get caught up in that. Come to reality. Those are the lies of the enemy that are trying to break us down and steal our hope. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What? He wants to kill your faith. He knows if he can take away your hope, it'll destroy your faith, your relationship with God, and ultimately it can take you out of the kingdom of God. So don't let him. Determine, I'm going to hang on to the hope I have. I will not let him steal it. I know he's a thief. I won't give it to you. So let's come to what I really want to say this morning. We should be people of great hope, but we should also be bringers of hope to a hopeless world. How do we do that? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the combination. Love stirs something in our hearts to want to go and share with people, to take them the gospel. But it's very hard. If I said to you, go and share the gospel with your neighbours, you say, oh, well, it's a bit hard. They don't really want to hear about it. Well, I'm going to tell you a different way. take them hope. When you're sitting down with your neighbours, listen to what they're saying. Ask questions. People are doing it tough. They might be doing it tough financially. They might be doing it tough because one of their rallies has COVID or some other disease, or they're going through something difficult. But you can bring them a word of hope. That's, for hope is the foundation of faith. So you need hope, which generates faith. And of course, love is the embracive that takes it out there. And so when I say take the gospel to people, what I really mean is don't just go and tell them Jesus loves them. That might be true, but that might not be what they want to hear right now. Take them hope. When you're talking to somebody, just let them talk. You soon hear what's in their heart, what's burdening them. And you can say, hey, you know, I know a better way, or I experienced a better way, or I know somebody's been in the same boat as you, but I've seen them come out of that, and they're now in a good place. You bring them hope. We need to be the bringers of hope. We have hope. We need to share hope. We need to encourage hope. And rather than just agreeing with their sad state and saying, well, I really do sympathise with you and I'm compassionate and it's too bad, and let me say a little prayer for you. Do more than that. Give them a word of encouragement. Bring them hope. Stir something in their heart, because if you stir hope, faith will arise. My father-in-law was saw many, many, many healings in his lifetime. He was a door-to-door salesman, wanted to be a doctor. His family couldn't afford to send him to university because you had to pay for it in those days. And so then he thought, well, I'll become an accountant. And he said, well, while I'm waiting to do the course, I'll do some door-to-door selling. And so he was selling. In those days, they had products like Watkins and Rawley's, which were products you probably never heard of, but they would, you would go selling door to door. And he was just so successful at it, tremendously successful. But the reason that he was successful, one was he was a good salesman, but two, he cared about people and he would bring hope. And when I did his funeral back in 2010, it was January 2010, 12 years ago, there were people who spoke to me who came in from the community and said, this is what he did in our lives. This is how he helped us. Now, they didn't necessarily become Christians, but at least they heard a word of hope that my father-in-law brought them. And it made a difference in a lot of lives. A lot of people came to the kingdom of God because of him, because he was out there. He was offered a job to come and work in the church. He said, no, God's got me with people. And he was effective right into his 80th year. So let me just say, you can be a bringer of hope too, because we love people. And we want to share that hope with people. And we should start sharing the gospel by bringing hope. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give to you. If you want to share Christianity with anybody, start with what's in you. And that should be hope that arises in your heart that you share with other people. There should be a light in us that people will see there's hope. You know, something should stir in them and say, I want what you got. I like what I see. I see the light in your eyes. I see what's in your speaking. There's something about you. Tell me what it is as we share our hope with people. Listen to people when they speak. What are they really saying? Many people are worrying, they're anxious, they're depressed. And can I just digress for a minute? The prophets that I listen to and other teachers of the word are saying that this world is going to get worse, not better. So we might have a hope that things are going to return to normal. They will never return to normal, the normal that we remember. The world is going to get steadily worse. Of course, being my age, I can remember what it was like 50, 60 years ago. It was a different world. What you saw on television was nothing like what you see today. The stuff that's on TV today, the movies, they'd ban them. The censor would say, no, that's not going on television. That's not fit for human consumption. So things have declined like that. The world has slipped into a worsening place. But I want to say to you, we have a living hope, Jesus Christ. Don't be fearful. You know, I was listening to a guy the other day and he's saying, The worst thing that can happen to the church is when it becomes popular. And he gave examples. He said, you know, in the 1950s, most Americans were Christian. They went to church. There was a church on every corner. But he said that changed. People became, comfortable in church, and their lives sort of drifted into the other world that was happening, the 1960s, free love and all that kind of stuff. Morality slipped, and the church, because the church had been popular and so easy, it just declined. Today, the church in the United States is just a small shadow of what it was 60 or 70 years ago. Possibly we'd say the same for Australia. But, you know, in times of adversity, that's when the church grows. China is a more Christian country than Australia on per head of population. Not just numbers, but per head of population. Why? Because they're persecuted there. To be a Christian in China is hard work. You're probably going to have to give your life. Pastors there end up in jail for 30 and 40 years, just taken away, never seen again. Other countries are similar. And I've seen graphs. And down here on the bottom graph is, you know, the Christianity in the country is where there's no persecution, no adversity, you know, everything's fine. And there's not many Christians. But you go across the graph on the bottom line where the persecution rises. And you can just see the graph. Christianity goes up like that. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Now, I'm not praying for persecution for you. Please. I don't want to be persecuted either. But God's in control. And at the end of the day, it's more important that people know Jesus than I live in comfort. So let's be people who bring hope. Let's have a heart for people. In John 6:68, Jesus has been talking to the disciples, telling them what it was to follow him. You know, you've got to eat my flesh, drink my blood, give up your life, all that. And it says some of the disciples left him. They said, no, this is too hard. We don't want to be there. We're going back to our occupations. And then Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, what about you? And Peter said these words to Jesus in John 6:68. He answered Jesus and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have the words of eternal life. Let us keep that in our hearts, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the scripture says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. Do you know, I'm not sure how many years ago it was, probably 30 something, but a couple in our church, John and Yolande Leroy, he'd been a successful engineer for Tolkien here in Mackay, a very gifted man. They were very sorry to lose him, but just got in his heart that he wanted to serve God overseas. I mean, it was a bit of a shock for me because I didn't sort of recognise that in John. But he was an organised man and a determined man. And he said, we want to go up to Borneo. At that stage, they wanted to go to the Malaysian part of Borneo there. And so they did, and they joined up with a guy named Justin Quick for a number of years. And then they said, we now want to work in Indonesia, still in Borneo, the state of Sarawak. And they said, we want to work there and work with children there. So I thought, well, okay, we'll get behind you and support you. And then John, of course, died in 2012. So he's been dead for just over 9 years now. And his wife left the work, but others have taken it on. It's still ongoing. But in that time, thousands of children have heard the word of hope. I've been there a number of times. I've seen how they start school up there at 6 a.m. And so, you know, I'll be up at 5:30 watching the kids go off to school. And then they come home at midday and then another bunch go off to school from 12 till 6. But then they come back and they do their homework in the big covered area. But then you do church services with them. And they love God, because John planted a seed of hope. And not only that, I mean, I've been to the villages these children come from. You wouldn't want to live there. It's subsistence living. There's no electricity, no running water. The toilet is a hole out the back somewhere. I could go on and on of how difficult it is. But John brought hope. So while he brings those children in, because they cannot have a further education in the villages, John brought them in so they could stay at what they call the foundation and go to school and study and do high schooling. Because we know that education is one of the ways out of poverty, probably one of the key ways out of poverty. And you see these kids, they when they come, of course they've got worms and bacteria and all sorts of problems. John has to medicate them, help them, get them strong and well, and you see the changes in them. It's about changing lives. It's about bringing hope. And that's why I have no embarrassment in coming to the church and say, give to missions. Because we're helping the poor. We're ministering in a way that's bringing hope to people who are in a hopeless place. The Bible says light will come in darkness. People have sat in darkness will see a great light. John brought a light. An unusual man in the sense of you wouldn't have picked that about him. And yet he did. And it was a fantastic effort. And I rejoice that we've been part of that. We have given from this church probably hundreds of thousands of dollars towards that work, and it has been well invested, I promise you. And so if you're not, you know, you can make individual donations to that to help support children. One time we were supporting 85 children from this church. I don't think it's certainly not that high now, but you could pick that up. For about $35 a month, you can support a child. Education, clothing, food, everything that would help them. It's a small price to pay to see somebody going and finding Jesus. And I encourage you in that. Okay, two last scriptures. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. 25:11, Proverbs, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. We have the words to bring hope. Let me just summarize. Be filled with hope. Have hope. Let it become a verb in your life. Take it from being a noun to a verb. In other words, something that's put into action. And put on the hope glasses. Take off the world's lenses and see the truth, God's truth. Because Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. In other words, you receive revelation. Relate to people. Express hope from the overflow in you. Determine to bring words of life because that's what kingdom people do. Amen.